One of the authors I read in my absence was the author Fyodor Dostoevsky, the Russian novelist, perhaps the greatest novelist ever. Reading Dostoevsky can be fun and challenging as well. Dostoevsky loves hypocrisms. He loves nicknames and pet names for his characters. He'll even give the nicknames nicknames, and so you almost have to keep a little side notebook to keep track of what he is calling his characters now. In the New Testament, a couple disciples have hypocrisms. There's a couple nicknames that we are well aware of. Judas is the betrayer for good reason. He sold our Lord for the price of a slave. And Thomas has a couple nicknames. One in Scripture is Didymus, which means twin. We don't know where the other twin is. If there is another twin, why he's called twin, but that's one nickname for Thomas in the Bible. Another one we have by tradition is doubter, Thomas the doubter, which is, I think, a bit unfair. So, after 25 years of preaching on this gospel, I want to come to the side of Thomas and show him a little bit of love, just a bit. Not that I can set the record straight, but let's look at Thomas. First of all, Thomas had faith in Jesus. Let's not forget that he followed him from the beginning. He left everything behind as was required to be a disciple. And he sacrificed all that needed to be sacrificed to be an apostle. It was Thomas who, when the going got tough, said to the other disciples, "Go, let us go. Let us go and die with him." Willing to die for Jesus. And it was Thomas who, at this scene right here, at the Last Supper, it was Thomas who, when confused, said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" That was the segue to our Lord's teaching, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Thomas was faithful to the end and took the faith to India. So he had tremendous faith that we need to emulate. Second of all, Thomas may not have been convinced of the resurrection, but really, who can be? Remember, our Lord's resurrected body is so mysterious. It's this divinely transformed body that is not recognizable. They don't recognize him right away. Mary Magdalene thought he was a gardener. The disciples thought he was a ghost. This transformed divine body seems to be recognizable only by his wounds. And besides, the only reason anyone believed in the resurrection is because they saw him. Thomas just seems to be out of the loop. He always seems to have bad timing. But more, John uses Thomas as his example of doubt. John, as a literary motif, he focuses all the doubts of the apostles on Thomas. So much so that you don't think any of the other apostles have ever doubted. And when he adds his addition onto his gospel, chapter 21, which came later, John indicates that the others too had doubts when he said, "None of them would dare ask who you are, for they knew it was the Lord." Actually, Thomas, in his doubting, just wanted to share in the excitement. He wanted to share in the joy of the risen Lord. And quite frankly, this desire to share in the excitement is an excitement we need more of. Finally, yeah, you can imagine this scene of our Lord appearing to Thomas. It's not one of Thomas's best moments. When our Lord said, "It's me, put your hands in my wounds, believe." But we don't know really if Thomas touched Jesus. A lot of paintings have Thomas's hand going in our Lord's side. Caravaggio is one of them. But the Bible doesn't say whether or not Thomas actually carried through and touched the wounds of our Lord. But what we do know is after he saw our Lord, Thomas said the highest expression of faith in Jesus in the New Testament, "My Lord and my God." In fact, the Greek is better translated, "the Lord of me, the God of me." That is what he's saying about Jesus, "the Lord of me, the God of me." So if Thomas wouldn't have doubted, we wouldn't have this beautiful expression of faith. One of the best, equal to that of St. Peter. "You are the Son of God." This is Divine Mercy Sunday. And it's a beautiful gospel for Divine Mercy Sunday because our Lord's interaction with Thomas reveals the truth again of his divine mercy. How our Lord dealt with Thomas is how our Lord deals with us. Not embarrassing him, not scolding him, but inviting him. Inviting him to belief. Inviting him to mercy. This divine mercy, my dear people, is only made possible by our Lord. And it's possible because our Lord is the Lord of me and the God of me.